بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، وأصلي وأسلم على المبعوث رحمة للعالمين نبينا محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه ومن اهتدى بهديه واقتدى بسنته إلى يوم الدين، وبعد، فقد قال جل وعلا في كتابه المجيد وفرقانه الحميد: أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم: وآخرون اعترفوا بذنوبهم خلطوا عملا صالحا وآخر سيئا عسى الله أن يتوب عليهم إن الله غفور رحيم. خذ من أموالهم صدقة تطهرهم وتزكيهم بها وصل عليهم إن صلاتك سكن لهم والله سميع عليم. وقال النبي صلى الله تعالى عليه وسلم: اللهم إني أعوذ بك من شتات الأمر، أو كما قال عليه الصلاة والسلام. Honorable scholars, respected brothers, friends and elders, mothers and sisters, one of the greatest differentiating factors between us and our pious predecessors is they exploited time objectively and we waste time casually. Hasan al-Basri rahimahullah was once asked, describe Sahaba in a common definition. You've seen the Sahaba, and Hasan Basri himself was so great that someone describing Hasan Basri rahimahullah said, إِنَّهُمْ رُؤُنْ سَرِيرُهُ كَعَلَانِيَتِهِ وَقَوْلُهُ كَفِعْلِهِ إِذَا أَمَرَ بِمَعْرُوفٍ كَانَ أَعْمَلَ النَّاسِ بِهِ وَإِذَا نَهَى عَنْ مُنْكَرٍ كَانَ أَتْرَكَ النَّاسِ لَهُ وَلَقَدْ رَأَيْتُهُ مُسْتَغْنِيًا عَنِ النَّاسِ زَاهِدًا بِمَا فِي أَيْدِيهِمْ وَرَأَيْتُ النَّاسَ مُحْتَاجِينَ إِلَيْهِ طَالِبِينَ مَا عِنْدَهُ. This is such an amazing description, and being part of the fraternity of scholars, or as they perceive us to be, may Allah make us amongst true ulama, this gives you a shiver in your back. Somebody asked regarding Hasan Basri that you live close to him, describe Hasan Basri to us. He said he is a man between whose private and personal life there's no disparity. If you get into his house or you see in his public life, he's one and the same person. It's very easy to create an image in public, but it's very, very difficult to deliver on that perception in our four walls of our house. In Muslim Sharif, in the Muqaddama on page 20, there is the quotation of Abdullah bin Mubarak. He said, I had heard about Abdullah bin Khatal, Abdullah bin Muharrir. I had heard about this person. And I read about him and I heard about him. I was so impressed about him, but I had not met him, that if I had to die without meeting him, and on the day of Qiyamah, Allah said to me, would you want to go to Jannah, Abdullah, or would you want to meet this man first and then go to Jannah? My passion to meet him was of such a caliber that I was prepared to put my entry into Jannah on hold momentarily. That Allah, first I would meet this man and then go to Jannah. When you're hungry, you don't want to do anything but eat. When you're tired, you don't want to do anything but sleep. When you have a call of nature, you want to do nothing but get to a washroom. When Allah make us amongst those that would be granted entry into Jannah, can you imagine the excitement, the anxiety, the jubilation that would grip the occupants on the day of Qiyamah to get into Jannah? لو خيرت بين أن أدخل الجنة وبين أن ألقى عبد الله لاخترت أن ألقاه ثم أدخل الجنة. If I was told on the day of Qiyamah, do you want to go straight to Jannah or do you want to meet this man first, see him, and then after that you can go? I would have probably said to Allah, Allah, first let me meet the man. فلما رأيته, but then when I finally met him, I seen such a disparity and discrepancy between what I heard and what I seen, that leave alone an animal, I will give more regard to the droppings of an animal than sit with this man. Leave alone an animal, I will value the droppings of an animal. كانت بقرةٌ. The droppings of an animal, I would say, is more precious than sitting with this man, simply because what I heard, what I was told, and what I seen was two different things. One of the great luminaries, Maulana Hussain Ahmad Madani rahimahullah, a great intellectual giant, a great scholar. I heard from people who sat close to him. They mentioned that this man was such The more you came closer to him, the greater your impression became about him. And that was the quality actually of our Habib sallallahu alaihi wasallam. To be impressed with a man at an arm's length from a distance, it's very easy. It's the whole world today, we're just creating images. The Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam was the only human whose most private life could be exposed in public, and it only gave a fragrance, there was no stench in it. The most private, the most intricate, the most personal aspects of our beloved Habib sallallahu alaihi wasallam's life could come out in the domain, and in that there's guidance and navigation for the ummah. So anyway, Hasan al-Basri rahimahullah, someone asked regarding Hasan al-Basri, he said, innahum ru'un sariruhu ka'alaniyati. He's a man in whose private and personal life there's harmony. وَقَوْلُهُ كَفِعْلِهِ. There is absolute, his utterances are synchronized with his actions. His utterances are synchronized. A villager who reverted to Islam, he said, لَقَدْ دَلَّنِي عَلَىٰ هَذَا النَّبِيِّ الْأُمِّ أَنَّهُ لَا يَأْمُرُ بِخَيْرٍ إِلَّا كَانَ أَوَّلَ آخِذٍ بِهِ وَلَا يَنْهَىٰ عَنْ شَرٍ إِلَّا كَانَ أَوَّلَ تَارِكٍ لَهُ. The thing that impressed me about Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam was, I never heard him utter an act of virtue but that he executed it. And I never heard him prohibit a vice but that he was the most distant individual from him. And I think probably that is our biggest setback. And that is the biggest snag we face on a macro, on a micro, and on a macro level. As a father, as a guardian, as a custodian to my kids, listen boys, don't do this here, don't smoke, don't use vulgar, don't peruse porn, don't do this, don't do that. But my children are watching, they observing. One of my scholars used to say, and I really like this and I identify, he said, everybody is observing your shenanigans. Some are silent out of dignity and others are silent out of desperation, but no one's blind. Some are silent, well, you know what, my job will be compromised, the lift club will be jeopardized. There's so many other things that would implicate, it's a family issue, why get yourself involved? Why get yourself, why tarnish yourself, why soil yourself? And others are dignified, now, well, his life, he should know better what he's doing, he should think for himself. But Allah is observing, but even the creation of Allah is observing. وَقُلِ اعْمَلُوا فَسَيَرَى اللَّهُ عَمَلَكُمْ وَرَسُولُهُ وَالْمُؤْمِنُونَ وَسَتُرَدُّونَ إِلَىٰ عَالِمِ الْغَيْبِ وَالشَّهَادَةِ فَيُنَبِّئُكُمْ بِمَا كُنْتُمْ تَعْمَلُونَ. Say unto them, اِعْمَلُوا دُو فَسَيَرَى اللَّهُ عَمَلَكُمْ وَرَسُولُهُ. Allah and His Nabi is observing, and the believers are also observing. The believers are also observing. So anyway, what did he say? Who was Hasan Basri? إِنَّهُمْ رُؤُنْ سَرِيرُهُ كَعَلَانِيَتِهِ وَقَوْلُهُ كَفِعْلِهِ إِذَا أَمَرَ بِمَعْرُوفٍ كَانَ أَعْمَلَ النَّاسِ بِهِ وَإِذَا نَهَى عَنْ مُنْكَرٍ كَانَ أَتْرَكَ النَّاسِ لَهُ وَلَقَدْ رَأَيْتُهُ مُسْتَغْنِيًا عَنِ النَّاسِ زَاهِدًا بِمَا فِي أَيْدِيهِمْ وَرَأَيْتُ النَّاسَ مُحْتَاجِينَ إِلَيْهِ. I noticed that he kept himself independent from the things of people. He was never one that was hankering behind the material pursuits of others. And I found people always converging around him to draw from his knowledge. So Khalid, Hasbuka ya Khalid. Khalid, who was narrating this profile of Hasan Basri, the person said to him, Hasbuka ya Khalid. Khalid, that's adequate. Kayfa, and this is such a rich tribute of Hasan Basri, Kayfa yadhillu qawmun fihim mithlu hadha. How can a nation deviate whose leaders are like this? How can a nation lose its moral compass whose leaders are like this? You know, there's a beautiful quotation in Tanbihul Ghafilin, and this gives us each to reflect, because we live in a world where it's very easy to pass the buck on. I often say, Sahaba were a group of people who used to deflect praise and embrace criticism. We deflect criticism and embrace praise. Sahaba were people that used to deflect praises. No, that's not for me, that's for him. That was Sahaba. They were not out searching, hankering, waiting for praises. No, they were happy to pass it on to others. But when criticism came, they were ready to take it on. And we the direct opposite. When it comes to criticism, he was talking to you. No, he was implying you. It's everybody else. And when it comes to the praise, immediately we just want to come forward. Unfortunately, that is our condition. May Allah protect us. So anyway, Hasan al-Basri rahimahullah, this great scholar, he had the opportunity of interacting with the Sahaba radiyallahu anhum. They cannot be a greater honor. Someone asked Imam Shafi'i rahimahullah regarding Umar ibn Abdul Aziz, who was known as the second Umar, and regarding Sayyidina Muawiyah radiyallahu anhu, who was the scribe of revelation, the brother-in-law of the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Who was a greater individual, Umar ibn Abdul Aziz or Sayyidina Muawiyah radiyallahu anhu? Sayyidina Muawiyah radiyallahu anhu was the brother-in-law of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, the scribe of revelation. Allahumma hdi Muawiyah wahdi bihi. Allah guide Muawiyah radiyallahu anhu and guide people through Muawiyah. Katibul wahyi, someone whom the Nabi of Allah delegated the colossal task to capture revelation. You can imagine what a rich accolade this is, that you trust in him with revelation. And what did Sayyidina Imam Shafi rahimahullah said? He said, Umar ibn Abdul Aziz and his likes, and this was a man of absolute justice. He was a second Umar. Read his era. His era was a fresh breath. His era brought great calmness to the Muslim land. During his era, there were numerous occasions when you would see the wolf and the sheep drink from a common well. This is mentioned in Tafsir al-Kabir. So a shepherd came and he looked at this strange sight and was like, wow, how did this happen? We cannot even see mother-in-law and daughter-in-law walk together. Leave alone wolf and sheep. That's become, nowadays you don't even see father and son. It's a rare sight. It's a rare sight where father and son are talking or sitting together. It's just, you know what, business related. And that's about it. They cannot share a discussion. They cannot talk together. Amr ibn As radiallahu anhu, when he was in the throes of death, his son was there at his bedside, the conqueror of Egypt. Dad, you're in the throes of death. Sifli al-Maut. Can you perhaps describe what your emotions and feelings are? I don't want to be insensitive to the moment, but once you pass on, nobody will tell me what's death all about. Can you tell me what's your feelings? كَأَنَّ جِبَالَ الدُّنْيَا فَوْقَ صَدْرِي. Oh my son, it's like the mountains of the world are exclusively on the chest of your father. كَأَنَّ جِبَالَ الدُّنْيَا فَوْقَ صَدْرِي. And who is Amr ibn al-As, the conqueror of Egypt? Then he slips into a coma. Then he comes out of that and is conscious. So the son nudges him, Dad, sorry, you were saying, and then you passed on. Are you back there? Can we talk? You were saying like the mountains of the entire world are on your bosom. وَكَأَنِّي أَتَنَفَّسُ مِنْ ثِقْبِ الْإِبْرَى. And I feel like I'm gasping for breath from the eye of a needle. And then he said those famous couplets or du'as. اللهم إنك أمرتنا فعصينا ونهيتنا فمن تهينا ولا يسعنا إلا عفوك اللهم لا قوي فأنتصر ولا بريء فأعتذر ولا مستنكر بل مستغفر. Allah, you told me to do a lot of things in my life. Unfortunately, I did not oblige. Allah, you told me to abstain from a lot. Tragically, I did not restrain. Allah, my hopes are only in your mercy and nothing else. Allah, I want to be upfront. I'm not strong that I'm going to take on the angel of death. I'm not going to take him on. I'm not strong, Allah. Allahumma la qawiyun fa antasir, wa la bari'un fa a'tadhir. And I'm not innocent that I'm going to argue my innocence. I'm not innocent that I'm going to argue my innocence. In this world, you argue, you know, you speak, you defend, you lie, you do a thousand things. Yawma yahshuruhum wallahu jami'an. فَيَحْلِفُونَ لَهُ كَمَا يَحْلِفُونَ لَكُمْ وَيَحْسَبُونَ أَنَّهُمْ عَلَى شَيْءٍ. Allah says, many of the disbelievers, as they spoke lies in this world, they will try and speak a lie on the day of Qiyamah, thinking perhaps it's going to buy them time there. But it's not going to help them in any way. Anyway, where to where? I'm saying we live in a world where there is no bonding. There is no time. There is no togetherness. We were just speaking now, and I mentioned it recently also in some of my talks. We're living in a world of digital consumption. Last week on one of the local radio stations, there was a discussion and I tuned in. YouTube records 100 billion hours of viewing daily. What staggering facts are that? Figures. 100 billion hours of viewing daily. Where is the ummah's time gone? Hasan Basri said, I stayed with the Sahaba and that's the focus of my talk. أَدْرَقْتُ أَقْوَامًا كَانَ أَحَدُهُمْ أَشَحَّ عَلَىٰ عُمْرِهِ مِنْهُ عَلَىٰ دِرْهَمِهِ. Digest this profound statement. If I have to summarize the Sahaba in one statement, then who were the Sahaba? They were a nation who were very possessive over time and very generous with wealth. You could get any amount of money out of them. They were easy. Money, take it, no issues. How much you want? Sahaba were casual. When it came to money, they could give tens of thousands. In fact, there's an amazing incident. I was just teaching it the other day, so I have a flash of it. I'll just share it with you. On the occasion of Badr, the Messenger Sallallahu uncle Abbas radiallahu anhu was captured. He was part of the captives. He wasn't a Muslim at that time. And he had come with a large amount, 700 gold coins, which was great value. And he was captured by the Muslims. He was apprehended. His assets were intercepted. And then he came forward. And then each captive had to give a ransom to buy his freedom. So Abbas radiallahu anhu at that stage was not a Muslim. So he asked the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam that, listen, I came with a lot of money and the Muslims have captured me and they've also taken my money. Can't you just assume the money that they have taken from me as a ransom? The money that I have been apprehended, I have been made a captive, and the money that has been taken, just take that as a ransom. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, no, the time at which you were apprehended, you were intercepted, you were coming to fight against us, you were not a believer, and at that stage as well, he was still not a believer. So this is booty to the Muslims. This is booty to the Muslims. You will have to give your ransom. And Allah revealed the verse, يَا أَيُّهَا النَّبِيُّ قُلْ لِمَنْ فِي أَيْدِيكُمْ مِنَ الْأَسْرَىٰ إِنْ يَعْلَمِ اللَّهُ فِي قُلُوبِكُمْ خَيْرًا إِنْ يَعْلَمِ اللَّهُ فِي قُلُوبِكُمْ خَيْرًا. O Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, say to these captives that are in your hands and in your possession, that if you are sincere in your heart and you are honest and you have good intentions, then Allah will give you much more than the wealth that was taken from you. Abbas radiallahu anhu said, I am a living statistic of this ayah. At the stage that this had happened, I was not a believer. Then I was taken as a captive. My family had to give money to get my ransom. I then accepted Islam. Allah gave me so much wealth, so much wealth. At that time, I had lost 700 coins. Now, at any given time, I have minimum 20 slaves and each one's income is in excess of 20,000 dirhams. Anyway, coming back to the point, I said Hasan Basri describing the Sahaba that they were a group of people, when it came to money, their hand was loose. They say in English, my father told me, a young boy says, oh my son, there are two types of people. They are the givers and the takers. The takers, they eat better. The givers, they sleep better. Oh my son, there are two types of people in the world. There are those that give. And there are those that take. By Allah, I have seen with my eyes in my travels, people who have a greater ecstasy in giving than the general public have in receiving. They are those individuals. May Allah make us amongst them. If there is a quality that is loved by Allah, it's generosity. Imam Shafi said, وَإِن كَثُرَتْ عُيُوبُكَ فِي الْبَرَايَا وَسَرَّكَ أَن يَكُونَ لَهَا غِطَاءُ تَسَتَّرْ بِالسَّخَاءِ فَكُلُّ عَيْبٍ يُغَطِّيهِ. If you regret, lament your wrong, and you want to expedite your spiritual growth, your safest avenue is generosity. That's a guaranteed avenue. Spend and spend. It would camouflage, conceal your wrong, and expedite your growth in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So Sahaba were very, very possessive when it came to time. There was a structured timetable. By and large today, we don't have a timetable in our life, which is a recipe for disaster. A believer has to have an active timetable and he cannot slip out of this timetable for him to be productive in this world and in Akhirah. the dua I recited before you is one of the teachings of Habib sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Allahumma inni a'udhu bika min shatatil amr. Allah, I ask thy divine protection from my matters being disorganized. Nowadays we have organized chaos. From my matters being disorganized. A believer has to be systematic. The infidels of Makkah in the 18 juz in Surah Mu'minun, Allah highlights many of their evil traits. They did this, they did this, they did this here. And Allah says there were three things which was an impediment, a hurdle, and an obstacle to their growth. And if we look at this carefully, microscopically, I'm afraid we are guilty of all three of them. مُسْتَكْبِرِينَ بِهِ سَامِرًا تَهْجُرُونَ. Just half an ayah. This is the beauty of the Quran. May Allah give us the love to connect with the Quran. مُسْتَكْبِرِينَ بِهِ سَامِرًا تَهْجُرُونَ. Allah said three things kept these infidels away from truth. Number one, they were arrogant about it. مُسْتَكْبِرِينَ بِهِ. They were arrogant about it. They were haughty and proud. Now the scholars of tafsir tell us that in the text of this ayah, there is no marja. In other words, previously in the ayah, there's nothing been discussed to which Allah is referring. But there is consensus of the scholars of tafsir. Here it refers to the Kaaba. And the reason why it has not been preceded by any mention, because the link and the attachment and the association and the affiliation and the affinity that they had with the Kaaba was known. Regarding a person, he is always with him. So with who? Or who else? So you use a vague, unclear reference. You don't explicitly mention it. You implicitly hint it. But everybody knows precisely who you're talking about. And that's exactly the tone of this ayah. They're very proud about it. And what's the reference? They were very proud about the fact that they were the custodians of the Kaaba. And they felt an air about this year. They felt arrogant about this. And may Allah save us from pride and arrogance. You know, in English they say, and this really hits me because it's so profound, a mistake which makes you humble is better than a virtue which makes you arrogant. A mistake which makes you humble. We're not condoning the mistake. Let me qualify my statements. We're not condoning the wrong, but it makes you humble. There is an incident in Babul Ujb in Tanbihul Ghafilin, regarding one of the pious predecessors. He said, لَأَنْ أَبِيتَ نَائِمَا وَأُصْبِحْ نَادِمَا. If I spend the night sleeping and I don't engage in nocturnal prayer, and we're not talking of Fajr prayer, we're talking of optional prayer, and I get up in the morning regretting this, this is more dear to me than spend the entire night in ibadat and get up conceited and elated and inflated that I'm better than others. It's such a sensitive thing, my brothers. It's so sensitive. I always say, and I'll repeat this, if there's three things which I have advocated in all my talks, and if anybody can ever have any memory of me, let it be these three things. One is give charity daily. Number two, value your parents lovingly and sincerely, whether alive or deceased. And number three, don't judge any person. I live by this and I die by this here. Give charity daily. Value your parents because that is the closest gateway to Jannah. Your mom is paradise, your dad is the door to paradise. And number three, don't be judgmental on any person. لَأَنْ أَبِيتَ نَائِمَا وَأُصْبِحْ نَادِمَا. If I spend the entire night sleeping and I get up, oh man, I regret. It's better than spending the night in ibadah and getting up with a condescending eye on others. Well, you wasted your night. What good is there in what you did? So Allah said three things kept them away from truth. They were arrogant on their virtuous actions. So it was the day of Jum'ah. Sayyidina Ali radiallahu anhu was at the minbar. Sayyidina Abbas radiallahu anhu was there, and a third sahabi. And they started enumerating their own accolades. Abbas radiallahu anhu said that, well, I have the privilege that I am the custodian of the Kaaba and I give water to the pilgrims. And somebody else said, well, I have this access to the Kaaba. And Sayyidina Ali radiallahu anhu said, I don't really identify with what you people are saying. All I know is I accepted Islam. I do what I was told to do. And I have participated in campaigns with the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And there is a bit of an argument and a back and forward altercation regarding which action is more superior than the other. Sayyidina Umar came close. He said, leave this. It's Jummah time. After Jummah, we'll ask the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And that was the privilege Sahaba had. And then the Nabi of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam came and the Jummah salah was performed. And then the verses were revealed. أَجَعَلْتُمْ سِقَايَةَ الْحَاجِّ وَعِمَارَةَ الْمَسْجِدِ الْحَرَامِ كَمَنْ آمَنَ بِاللَّهِ وَالْيَوْمِ الْآخِرِ وَجَاهَدَ فِي سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ لَا يَسْتَوُونَ عِنْدَ اللَّهِ وَاللَّهُ لَا يَهْدِي الْقَوْمَ الظَّالِمِينَ الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا وَهَاجَرُوا وَجَاهَدُوا بِأَمْوَالِهِمْ وَأَنفُسِهِمْ فِي سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ أَعْظَمُ دَرَجَةً عِنْدَ اللَّهِ وَأُولَئِكَ هُمُ الْفَائِزُونَ. Have you equated giving water to the pilgrims and establishing the sacred house to the young man who accepted Iman and spent his health and wealth in participating in the campaigns with the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam? They cannot be equal. لا يستوون عند الله. The action of Ali surpasses the actions of others. The point that I'm saying is that the kuffar of Makkah, three things, they were arrogant on what they did. We do little, we speak about it, and we destroy what we have. May Allah protect us. May Allah grant us humility. I often say, brothers, and I'll say it again, do one thing in your life, and may Allah give it to me, the ability, and to you. So secret that you don't whisper it to your partner. You don't, because when we do some good action, a little while we quiet, after a little while, there's this itch within us. I need to tell my wife. I need to inform this one here. I need to tell this person here. We won't keep anyone abreast with all our wrongs, but we're very quick. You know what? In case somebody comes and gives you a receipt, just accept it. It's some donation I gave a few years ago. Do one action secretly.